With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. The town of Cashin in Oneida County is going to court over its objection to a recovery center designed for Native youth struggling with substance abuse. Town leaders are taking their case to the Oneida County Circuit Court to try to overturn a recent decision allowing the center a permit. WXPR's Hannah Davis Reed reports.
It's been over a year since the Great Lakes Intertribal Council, or GLITZI, blessed ground for their Adolescent Recovery and Wellness Center. But since then, the project has been held up in the permitting process. The town of Cashin and other communities have argued the center goes against their plans for land use and that it could negatively affect property values. The town of Cashin and neighboring Little Rice both passed resolutions against the center. Then the Oneida County Planning and Zoning Committee rejected the organization's permits. GLITZI appealed and successfully overturned that decision in front of the Oneida County Board of Appeal in July. But now Cashin is going to appeal to the Oneida County Circuit Court. Patty Francoeur is the town chair of Cashin.
I think the Planning and Development Committee had gotten it right. And in all two meetings that the Board of Adjustment had in review of the appeal by GLITZI, I feel the town, I don't think they took into any account the original substantive evidence that the town gave in our reasons for wanting the CUP denied.
A CUP is a conditional use permit that would allow the recovery center to operate in a wooded area of Cashin. In the reason for wanting the CUP denied, the town's lawyers have also expressed concerns that GLITZI could transfer the land into a sovereign trust and deny the town tax benefits. GLITZI has repeatedly said they won't. Francoeur said that during regular town board meetings, supporters of the center don't tend to show up.
They only showed up during special town board meetings or is pretty much, I don't believe, a regularly monthly meeting there was really anyone representing to speak and say, you know, I just want to say, you know, I am for this facility and could state their reason.
So far, the town has spent a little over $46,000 in litigation on the case. WXPR reached out to Brian Bainbridge, CEO of GLITZI, but wasn't able to set up an interview before publication. For WXPR News, I'm Hannah Davis Reed.
Former President Donald Trump is headed to Mosady this weekend for a rally at the Central Wisconsin Airport, but the airport still needs to maintain its normal operations. People can start getting onto the site for the campaign stop at 9 a.m., with the former president scheduled to speak at 1 p.m. For those flying commercial flights during that time, flights are not canceled and there shouldn't be any changes. Just make sure to leave early and have plenty of extra time due to the heavy influx of traffic. Central Wisconsin Airport Director Brian Greafy says they're working to make things run as smoothly as possible.
It's very unique, yeah. We typically don't have several thousand people on our ramp. Usually it's less than 10 in that area at any given time. So we're working with all the regulatory agencies, Secret Service, airport staff, airport tenants to make it as convenient of an event as possible.
Airport officials also mentioned they will have an open lot for protesters on the north side of the event in the western event lot. This story is courtesy of WAOW Television. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has filed a lawsuit in Wisconsin trying to get his name removed from the battleground state's presidential ballot after the State Elections Commission voted to keep him on it. Kennedy suspended his campaign in August and endorsed Republican candidate Donald Trump. Kennedy also filed a lawsuit in neighboring Michigan, attempting to get off the ballot, but a judge ruled Tuesday he must remain. He filed another lawsuit in North Carolina on Friday. Kennedy filed the Wisconsin lawsuit Tuesday, arguing that third-party candidates are discriminated against because state law treats Republicans and Democrats running for president differently. In the wake of Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer's recent signing of the Michigan Family Protection Act, there are still concerns about the potential for an IVF ban at the federal level. Crystal Blair has the story.
The act signed in April safeguards reproductive services such as surrogacy, IVF, and abortion. Stephanie Jones of Grand Blanc had her daughter via surrogacy after secondary infertility. She's a strong advocate for IVF.
A ban on IVF would be a ban on critical health care for hundreds of thousands of Americans. And without access to IVF, people would not be able to grow and some start their families. So it would be devastating.
Jones nearly lost her life due to a rare ectopic pregnancy and credits an emergency abortion with saving her. Her pre-Roe experience now drives her advocacy for policies that protect IVF and support unrestricted abortion rights. However, many right-to-life advocates contend that these reproductive services are not only morally wrong, but unsafe. Natalie Dotson with the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C., warns that reproductive service providers often downplay the health risks associated with IVF for both mothers and babies.
In particular, the risk of non-chromosomal birth defects increases by 40%. The risk of autism is 2 times more likely. Stillbirth increases up to 4 times compared to spontaneous conception. Additionally, women who undergo IVF experience increased health risk and poor health outcomes.
Dotson says scientifically, life begins at conception inside or outside the uterus. She emphasized her main concern is whether embryos created through IVF have the same value as those developing naturally. For the Michigan News Connection, I'm Crystal Blair.
A lot of corn grown in Wisconsin goes to make ethanol. Bacteria can take a big bite out of ethanol production, leading to lower profits and costly shutdowns. Scientists at the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Center for Research in Peoria, Illinois, are using genetically modified baker's yeast to kill that bacteria. Microbiologist Sha Liu says it's proven to be effective in tests.
It is very effective. We show in a lab scale at least 85% decrease in bacterial contamination compared to a contamination control.
Ethanol makers currently use antibiotics to combat the invasive bacteria. Lou says that's both more expensive and problematic as bacterial resistance to the drugs grows. For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.